Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much, Randy. Probably the last day I will be formally letting you know about the opportunity for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute to receive Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth. This is part of the Design of Life series. It is an absolutely exquisite DVD, as I've been saying all month. If you do not have it, again, it is available for your gift. You can access Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth on the web, equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. The number to dial to get your questions answered live, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Spiritual Life Conference coming up September 20th for people in this neck of the woods. All of this happening in Rock Hill, South Carolina. At the Spiritual Life Conference, I'll be speaking from 3 to 6:30. I'm going to be presenting a message on Islam and then answering questions from across the board, of course, whatever you want to ask. For further information, you can call 803-327-2009. I'll give that information out again either later on in the broadcast or in another broadcast. You can also check this out on the web at equip.org. Limited seating, so registration is required. No charge, but people, the people at the Spiritual Life Conference need to know if you're coming. So, limited seating, registration is required. Check it out on the web at equip.org or else call 803-327-2009. A lot of you hanging on right to the phone lines. First up, Amy, she's listening in Kansas City, Kansas on Bot Radio. Hi.
Hi. I had a question. I was wanting to, my question is about marriage and remarriage after divorce. I actually stepped out of my marriage and committed adultery, and I just wanted to know, I know, like with King David and Bathsheba, how God, you know, brought turmoil to the relationship all throughout the relationship. What I wanted to know is if you can ever get remarried after divorce, and if so, I mean, if you're going to have turmoil all throughout the rest of your life, if so.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you remarried?
No, I'm not. I've been in a relationship for 5 years with the person that I stepped out of my marriage with.
Ah.
But no, we have a lot of turmoil.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if there'd ever be peace to that.
Yeah, well, I think a couple of things. The typical answer is that God hates divorce. If two people are in a relationship and let's say you have one person who is a Christian, the other is not, the Christian should not seek a divorce in that circumstance. If the other party is willing to stay, then the Christian should not seek a divorce. Once you have a situation where you are divorced and the door to reconciliation has been closed, let's say the party that you divorced has gotten remarried or died, then I would receive good counsel within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church. But In terms of the general question, whether after a divorce you can have a satisfying relationship with someone, I don't think that there's any reason you cannot. Again, what we want to do is exemplify that marriage is something very sacred from a Christian perspective, which is to say that it is not just about psychophysical pleasure, but it's parabolic in the sense that it is an illustration of Christ and his love for the church and the church and its love for Christ and the connection between the head and the body. So it's a sacred sacrament that we should not look at in any kind of a cavalier fashion.
So even though that I was a Christian person, I don't think I understood the depth or the gravity to what God could possibly, you know, I mean, him not blessing your relationship, how, you know, much turmoil can possibly be in a relationship. But I have understood it since then. But since I was the one who stepped out of my marriage and I was adulterous in that, I'm not basically condemned to a life of celibacy and being alone for the rest of my life.
Well, again, I would say if there's any possibility for restoration in terms of the original relationship that you stepped out of, that's the best of all possibilities. In terms of your present relationship, what I would do is I would get that question answered within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church, because there are a lot of converging factors in relationships that I simply don't have the wherewithal to comment on because I don't know all of them. And so rather than getting an electronic answer, I think that this has to be answered within counseling in the context of a healthy, well-balanced church. I don't feel qualified, based on the information I have, to give you a definitive answer. I do know that divorce is a very, very serious matter. Sometimes we sin, and there are always consequences to that sin, but that does not mean that restoration is not possible. David, for example, sinned grievously against the Lord, not only in having Uriah killed, having an affair with Bathsheba, but also taking his senses and many other things that could be mentioned. But yet David was used by God in a very significant way in his lifetime and to the present day. So God can restore the years of the locusts of Eden.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mike. He's listening in Wichita Falls, Texas, NRB Television. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your ministry.
You got it.
My question for you is in 1 John chapter 5, and in I think it's verses 16 to 17, and it talks about a sin that doesn't lead to death. And I'm a new Christian for 4 years or so, and I'm seeking to meet. And I understand that before this, there's only one sin that leads to death, and that was the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. But yet it says a sin is a sin is a sin. So what is the difference between a sin that leads to death and a sin that does not lead to death?
Well, I wouldn't agree with the presupposition that a sin is a sin is a sin. If you think a murderous thought in your heart, it's quite a different thing from carrying out the actual murder. The consequences are different by simply having the thought, certainly that's a sin, and then carrying it out, which is a far graver sin. So not all sins are created equal. But having said that, what John is writing about in 1 John 5 is, in context, he's dealing with faith in God and loving your brother and sister. So the sin that leads to death in this epistle is typically the sin against the Holy Spirit by lacking faith in God and by not loving your neighbor. Remember, on these two commands hang all the law and the prophets. So if you continue in willful premeditated sin, then you're demonstrating that you do not have the Spirit of God. But as long as you have life, that can be reversed, which is to say, you can fall upon the graces of God as long as you are still in flesh.
Okay, so as Christians, we say that we're sinners, saved by grace, the blood of Christ Jesus on the cross, but I understand that we're still sinners every day we wake up. So how do we, I mean, how do you explain, how do I understand that, that if we're no longer led by sin, but yet we're still sinners, and that thoughts may come and go in our heads and we may not act on them, but nevertheless, we still sin in that way. How do I understand that?
Well, John tells you what to do about that. He says that if you claim to be without sin, then you're deceiving yourself and the truth is not in you. But if you confess your sin, he is faithful, he is just, he will forgive you your sin and purify you from all unrighteousness. If you claim you have not sinned, then you make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in your life. So what you've said is absolutely true. We sin every single day in thought, word, and deed. But we don't want to be in a situation where we live lives that are willful transgressions against the love and grace and goodness of God. So while we recognize our sin, we don't live lives that are constantly at odds with the principles and precepts of the kingdom. Because we say the king knows what's best, and therefore we want to follow the king in his principles and precepts, not oppose them. So it's the difference between willfully, continuously, in an ongoing fashion, rejecting God's grace and goodness, as opposed to being someone who is perfect. I mean, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and as long as you are alive, you will be in that condition. So as a Christian, you say that you have been covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you want to use juridical language, as the Bible sometimes does, we recognize that we are, in fact, covered by his righteousness. So positionally, we're declared righteous. Practically, we still sin, and we'll always be in that state. But we're also going through a period in this life of sanctification where we're being conformed more and more to the image and likeness of God. That is an ongoing thing that's happening. So you're not static, you're getting better all the time. The image of God that is now marred is being progressively restored to its original position, and in the age to come it will be completely restored. But we're in that process now.
Okay. All right. Can I have a follow up on the verses before that?
Sure.
This is a confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked him of. Now, 6 years ago, I was told I would need 2 hip implants because of arthritic condition. I searched my soul, and I looked through scriptures, and, you know, he formed me in my mother's womb, and I cried out to God that not to let this happen. And I was on a cane and taking 4 pain pills a day. Now I'm no longer on a cane and I'm off the pain pills. So he answered my prayer. And I have a tendency to want to pray for others who are sick or have some disease or something. But the church today doesn't seem to want to speak too much to that, because if a healing doesn't occur, then I guess they look weak, or it doesn't seem, I don't know what the reason is, but am I wrong to want to go and pray for others to be healed of whatever diseases or sicknesses they have? And is it possible to be done?
Well, obviously, you're a living example that God heals in the present day. So there's no problem whatsoever with God healing. However, healings like the healing that you experienced are non-normative. If they were normative, we wouldn't call them miracles. I think that I was just with a very good friend of mine who has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Most of his intestines have been compromised. He is at peace with the fact that he's going home to be with the Lord. He's completely at peace with that. He's experiencing the grace of God in the midst of a diagnosis that's very dramatic and dark indeed in terms of this life, but he is at peace. Conversely, his family members want desperately that a miracle would happen. Now, I would not tell his family members not to pray for a miracle. I would tell them to pray for a miracle. But he himself will not pray for a miracle because he has a confirmation in his heart that this is indeed an untreatable cancer and that God is calling him home. He does know, however, that he can't put God in a box, that God can do the miraculous, but he is at complete peace and God has given him the grace. In fact, it's one of the great testimonies. Just with him for a good part of the day today, and it was just a tremendous testimony to me, as the whole family has been in many different ways. By the way, his name is Jad. For those who want to put him on their prayer list, he and his wife, Jad and Jane. I'm praying for them every single day. But again, ultimately, it's nevertheless not my will, but thy will be done. God knows what is best for us. We see a snapshot in time. He sees the panoply of our lives. Coming up to the station break, we'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers.
A dolphin's echolocation system, or biosonar, permits it to detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think this ability arose from blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the dolphin's biosonar and other biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Elestra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive Living Waters on DVD as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Over the past year, American news has been dominated by one story after another of a black man being fatally injured in a confrontation with police. Allegations of racism have followed each case, accompanied by discussions, debates, demonstrations, and disturbances with an intensity unseen since the 1960s. What kind of healing can Christian faith bring to this national divide? Other topics include assessing the church's change of heart about homosexuality. Is it immoral to believe in God? Two views on human origins, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. A dolphin's biosonar permits it to distinguish the difference between a golf ball and a ping pong ball based solely on its density. In fact, dolphins can see inside things. What's more, a dolphin can detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think a dolphin's echolocation system simply arose from purposeless processes rooted in blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Elestra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Cold case detective J. Warner Wallace would never allow a divine intruder to enter his life. Yet over time, something changed, and he now sees himself as a guest in the Creator's universe. Detective Wallace is not a theist because his parents believed or because he needed to fulfill a void in his life. Rather, he says, "I believe God exists because the evidence leaves me no reasonable alternative." God's Crime Scene. A cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe, presents the cosmological, biological, mental, and moral cases for God. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. 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 The battle for the hearts and minds of millions on our planet will largely be determined by how the facts of science are interpreted. Do the facts of science suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, a new film in Alustra Media's The Design of Life series, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm, showing how its biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and right back to our phone callers. Next up is Rosemary. She's listening in Atwater, California on Bot Radio. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. My question has to do with a close relative of mine is married, going to move in with her boyfriend, and he's an unbeliever and she's a believer. And she seems to think it's okay, and I was going to tell her that maybe she should marry him, and then if it didn't work out, then break off. But then I started praying about it and thinking about it, and I thought about 2 Corinthians 6:14, where it tells you not to be unequally yoked. And I know that has to do with false teachers or false people that don't believe as you do, but it also, I thought, qualified in marriage. So I am agonizing as to how to tell her, and she's not a young woman. I mean, she's in her 60s, and he's in his 70s. So I don't know how to present it to her and how to tell her that she's making a mistake.
Yeah, I think what you've just said is very, very instructive for everybody listening in. To be unequally yoked is to pull the wagon in two different directions, and in the end, the wagon is broken. And so we should not be unequally yoked. If you are a believer, you don't want to marry an unbeliever. Just by definition, you want the life that you have together to have commonality in every aspect, not the least of which is the spiritual aspect of the marriage. And you cannot have that with an unbeliever. So a couple of issues. The first issue that you rightly bring up, but I think also that you cannot in the time before you get married live together either, because the marriage bed is to be held in honor among all. It is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. It's a very, very serious kind of a sin, because our temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever in a sexual relationship between marriage is a grave, grave sin that carries significant consequences for the people who are violating God's principle and precept. And as I said on this broadcast before, God is not a cosmic killjoy, as though he's simply trying to make our lives miserable, but he intentionally places parameters around our lives so that our lives might indeed be full. The only form of sexual relations that is approved in Scripture is between a married man and a married woman. All other forms of sexual relations are condemned. This is not my opinion. You find this not only in the passage that I just cited, Hebrews chapter 13, but also Galatians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, and many other places. So the Bible is unequivocally clear in this regard.
Right. What was that Hebrews reference?
What's that? Hebrews 13, 4, Galatians 5, 19, Ephesians 5, 3.
I had a lot of scripture for fornication, sexual immorality, that these are better. Okay, I have a hard time deciding how I'm going to tell her this. Should I text her? Should I call her and talk to her?
Well, how close are you?
We're kind of like first cousins.
Yeah, but I just mean how close are you personally?
Well, we're very close. We can talk to each other about anything.
Well, that's wonderful then. If that is the case, I would just talk to her and say, look, I love you. You know that. We've had very, very intimate, complex conversations over the years. This is really on my heart. And the reason it's on my heart is because I don't want you to get hurt. I don't want you to hurt anybody else. Here's kind of the parameters that the Lord lays out for us. I think that to live outside those parameters is going to bring hurt and grief and pain. And that's why I want to talk to you about it. So it's not as much you being judgmental as instructive.
Okay, that sounds good. And I am older than her, so she will maybe listen.
Yeah, so. And this is not your opinion. I mean, if you can demonstrate that the Bible is a reliable authority, then you can use the Bible as the means by which you have this conversation.
Right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your answer.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Joey next in Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on NRB television. Hi, Joey.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Would you like to hear my question?
I sure would.
If the word repentance means to change your mind, then in Hebrews 12, verse 17, I'm confused because it sounds like Esau changed his mind.
Yeah, it's an interesting case because it's very much like Judas. Judas changed his mind as well. He had received the 30 pieces of silver, and then he threw them back in the temple because he knew that he had betrayed innocent blood. And there are many other examples that can be given. Peter is a classic example. He denied his Lord with vile oaths, but then he had a change of heart. But when you talk about repentance, it's not just a change of heart. It's a change of heart. It's a change of mind. It's a change of the will. It's a genuine sorrow for sin. It's not just the consequences that follow your sin, but it's a genuine sorrow for sin. And this is not what was exemplified by the first two examples. It was exemplified by Peter. Same thing is true, by the way, with Cain and Abel. Cain was certainly beset with real remorse because of the consequences that he would face. And he thought other people were going to kill him because of what he had done and because he was marked. But there still was bitterness that reigned in his heart. And bitterness, it's a spirit of habitual complaining. It refuses the chastisement of God. It defiles us, therefore, before a holy God. So Esau was bitter about Jacob's favored life in contrast to his own life of difficulty. And that bitterness blinded him to what was truly valuable. It cut him off. In the sense that he was willing to sell his birthright for something inconsequential. And for that, he is called a fornicator. Why? Because he was unfaithful to God. And he united his spirit to the spirit of the age as opposed to being united to God. So there's a lot more going on than just saying, I changed my mind. He did not have a complete change of heart and will so that he was moving in a different direction. And this is ultimately what we are called to do in repentance. It is a willingness to turn and move in another direction. That was not the willingness that Esau had. Now, we cannot say that there was not some kind of transformation at some juncture, maybe just before he died. I don't know. There are a lot of signs that Esau did have a change of heart that was substantial later on. But his sin was his sin because bitterness continued to reign in his heart. So his will had not been changed.
Are you there?
Yeah.
It sounded like he changed his mind with tears. So where does it say all the stuff you're saying where he had bitterness in his heart? I don't read that here. I read him having tears.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is that you can be tearful and sorrowful because of the consequences of your sin without having a change of the will. And in the case of Peter, he had a real change of the will, and therefore, instead of continued bitterness, he experienced God's blessing. And there are examples like that with respect to David and others. But then there are the counterexamples, the examples that you would find with Cain and Abel, and the example that I gave you with Judas. And this was the same kind of example that followed in tandem with the example set by Esau. So, you know, to use Cain, because it comes early on in the biblical text, his disposition was evident in his angry and his downcast countenance. So sin reigned in him with vulgar vengeance, and that embodied the character and craftiness of his father, the devil, who was a murderer from the beginning. It wasn't that he couldn't have been forgiven as David was, because remember, David committed the same kind of a sin. David had Uriah killed on the battlefront. One was forgiven, the other was not. Cain invited an unsuspecting Abel to the field and there murdered him with malice and forethought. His evil disposition evidenced in the complaint regarding the severity of his punishment. He was not bothered by the content of his sin, but by its consequences. So it wasn't penitence, but punishment that caused Cain to plead for protection from Adam's posterity. Now, I don't know all the details of Cain's life. The only thing that I can do is read what you have correctly pointed out in Hebrews and leave the magnifying glass in the hands of the New Testament writers in terms of what was really going on with respect to the disposition of his heart.
Okay. Well, thanks for your time, sir.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. We're coming to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your question. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question's answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Also, when you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and as many outreach ministries with your ongoing support. In appreciation of your support, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. Again, equip.org/donate. Also, remember, Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth. It's a worthy sequel to Metamorphosis in Flight. All three of these DVDs you can find on the web at equip.org. It provides, Living Waters now, an awe-inspiring, an uplifting, a powerful apologetic tool for revealing the Creator's purpose and design, a purpose and design that pervades life on our planet. It is an absolutely exquisite DVD available for your support of the ministry. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
The likelihood of the astonishing intelligence manifested in nature arising from blind chance is simply preposterous. Did you know that a sea turtle possesses a biological system that allows it to navigate thousands of miles using Earth's magnetic field? Learn more about how sea turtle navigation and other biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the new film by Illustra Media. To receive Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Because life and truth are under attack by secularists who deem the Bible nothing more than primitive superstitions and fairy tales, Christians are called to give reasons for what and why they believe to highly educated skeptics and atheists. Wisdom, however, warns against engaging in a defense of the one true faith without adequate training and preparation. The book by J. Warner Wallace, God's Crime Scene, A Cold Case Detective Examines the Evidence for a Divinely Created Universe, will equip you to present and defend the arguments and evidence for God's existence. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance? Or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Over the past year, American news has been dominated by one story after another of a black man being fatally injured in a confrontation with police. Allegations of racism have followed each case, accompanied by discussions, debates, demonstrations, and disturbances with an intensity unseen since the 1960s. What kind of healing can Christian faith bring to this national divide? Other topics include assessing the church's change of heart about homosexuality. Is it immoral to believe in God? Two views on human origins, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. For millions of people today, science has become the sole authoritative arbiter of truth. Yet the problem is generally not the facts of science, but the theoretical presuppositions that relentlessly distort the interpretation of those facts. One source that clears up interpretive distortions of the scientific facts about Earth's underwater realm is Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. This DVD demonstrates how underwater life, including dolphins, whales, and sea turtles, reflects the highest level of purpose and design. To receive Living Waters on DVD as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Now here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and right back to our phone callers. We'll talk next to Gary in Clarksville, Tennessee, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Gary.
Hello, Hank. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
Okay, I got a new phone system in my truck. So I've got my pastor, I really like him, but he's been teaching on Revelation. Of course, I knew he was going to be teaching some things that I didn't agree with because he's, you know, believes in the pre-tribulational rapture and all that goes to that. Of course, I did too when I joined the church, but I've since learned the truth. But the other day he just made reference when he was preaching about Jonathan Cahn's book, The Harbinger. And I thought, well, maybe he's just reading that to keep up on the latest sensationalism. But afterwards, I asked him about it, and he believes it. He's really bought into it. And so I'm perplexed on what to do. Should I meet with him one-on-one and try to reason with him, or should I just give him your book, The Apocalypse Code, or should I just let it go since it's not an essential Christian doctrine? Because he's real sound on the essentials, you know. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I think of the words that James uttered in the sacred text of Scripture, let not many of you be teachers, because with teaching there is a stricter judgment. It is simply incomprehensible to me that someone who is teaching others would in some way give a validation to Shemitah or to the Harbinger. It just boggles my mind. I watched several YouTubes. I read the Charisma, latest Charisma magazine, and I just could not believe what I was reading. I felt like sitting down and crying. And the reason is because people make life decisions based on what these guys are saying. And what you end up having is such a prostitution of the Word of God, the holy, sacred Word of God. They find patterns, they find things, they read things into the text that the text isn't designed to give. They torture the biblical text into talking about four blood moons in the present. It is almost unconscionable or unthinkable. And then in the process, they set dates. But even in setting the dates, they qualify because they put a big May, May, just to qualify a little. But, you know, they're causing people, I mean, we talk to people all the time that are just terrified and making irrational decisions. It's kind of like with the stock market last week. I mean, if you were, I can't remember exact days, I think it was Monday and Tuesday the stock market was tanking. Well, if you jump off the roller coaster when it's going up really fast or going down really fast, in either case, you're going to get hurt. And these people are correlating these kinds of biblical events or harbingers that have to do with Israel to what's happening in the modern day. And they do it by twisting the biblical text and using newspaper eschatology, and in the process, people make rash decisions that have horrible consequences in their lives. Nowhere did I see that more clearly than with what happened with Y2K, and I was so grieved at that time because you had major name brand evangelical pastors selling generators, selling freeze dried food, making the most horrendous mess out of the scriptures. They were mining the subjunctive. They were cultivating the seed of threat buried in each unrealized instance. And people sold their homes. They cashed out of the stock market. They made all kinds of drastic decisions in their life. Thousands and thousands. I mean, I could go on and make a bigger number, but I want to understate the situation. But there were so many people that were hurt. And guess what happened? Absolutely nothing. How many of those teachers got on the radio or television and said, you know, I'm sorry. Because of what I said, you made a life decision, and I know it was costly for you. You quit your job. You moved out into the country. I'm sorry. I was using the text for my own means because the ministry's made out like bandits. And by the way, if you would say anything against what they were saying at the time, and I did, the wrath of the evangelical world, I felt in a very direct, substantial way. One of the major Christian leaders going so far in public saying that Hank Hanegraaff would have the blood of millions of people on his hands because he was causing complacency within the body of Christ. Now, what they had done is they had used sophistry, sloppy journalism, sensationalism, and the torture of Scripture in the process of purveying what they were purveying. And they had a neat little scheme worked out, 1967, add 40, you come up to 2007, subtract 7, so it coincided with something. They found a pattern. Coincided with the idea that within a generation, you had had the pre-tribulational rapture, or the beginning of the pre-tribulational rapture, the secret coming of Jesus Christ. So they contextualized it, and they made it sound so real. And it was, I mean, it was very, very profitable, except for the people that got hurt. And this is the thing. The pastor needs to protect the flock, not allow the wolf into the sheep pen. Because people are, and I don't mean this in any way, in a condescending way, but people are so often easily led. They're fueled by their fears. And when pastors capitalize on that, I think it's just shameful. And certainly this is what's happening with these kinds of books, you know, the Four Blood Moon books. And you'll see once again in a few months that all the dates that they've set for September, the most prominent, I guess, is September 23, they'll come and go. They'll either make an excuse or say something happened, because the way in which they communicate what they communicate, they always leave themselves an out. But the biggest thing that they rely on is that people have short memories and that some other thing will come up that they can, you know, write the next book on. You saw this with John Hagee. I mean, this is a classic case in point. Here's a Word of Faith teacher. He's a radical Zionist. He wrote a book called The Beginning of the End. And so he was claiming that the assassination of Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin was the designated sign. Well, that didn't work out too well for him. But again, he banked on short memories. And then he went to a new book, From Daniel to Doomsday, as I recall. And the focus there was the Y2K bug. Well, that didn't even turn out to be a top 10 news story in the year 2000. So he went on and wrote another bestseller, Financial Armageddon. Anticipated that the current economic recession was the beginning of the end. And then that didn't work out, so then he wrote The Four Blood Moons. And he said he had discovered a new sign that something is about to change. And the new period was April 15, 2014 to September 28, 2015. Well, that date is coming up on us very, very quickly. Tomorrow will be the first day of September. And, you know, people will have short memories again, and he'll publish another book. And all the while, people are being merchandised. And that is, if I might say it in a sanctified sense, that is the hell of it for me. It is just people being made merchandise of. I remember telling Benny Hinn this at one point. He in conversations with him, he was quite proud at one point. He wasn't throwing his coat out in the crowd. He said, "You'd be really proud at me." The crowd was yelling for me to throw my coat. You know, everybody would fall down, slain in the spirit when he'd throw his coat in the crowd. And I told him, "You just can't do this kind of stuff. People are making life decisions. They think this is the Holy Spirit." And you're right. Okay. So he one time didn't throw his coat, and he called me and said, "You'd be really proud of me. I didn't throw my coat into the crowd." But this shows just how cavalier these people are.
My pastor, he's not to that extreme, but he's just, I can see him buying into some of this stuff, and I want to try to, you know, talk to him about it, but I don't know how to do it.
Well, with gentleness and with respect, first and foremost. But again, if he
should I talk to him? Should I talk to him about it?
I think so. If the Lord has laid this on your heart, I mean, then you can wash your hands of the matter. You've tried to. There's no reason any pastor that reads Shemitah or the Harbinger. There's no reason that any pastor can't see through the subterfuge any more than there was no reason that people couldn't see through the Y2K bug or the Millennium bug, as they call it. There's absolutely no reason.
Well, it shocked me when I learned that he really bought into that. It shocked me. But then again, I looked at it like, well, I know how sharp the devil is. It shouldn't surprise me. He shocks even he deceives even the most learned people among us.
Yeah, it's kind of a, I call it magic apologetics. These people are enacting the role of a stage magician. They're performing a shell game in which one event after another is presented as the event that will signify an end to all things. And it is, of course, very, very sad but true, but many will continue to fall for this kind of hucksterism. And all we can do is speak out. And, when we do, the Christian Research Institute loses out, because we're not making any money on it. We're simply getting a lot of criticism before it. But ultimately, there's an audience of one. Because every one of those pastors are going to stand before God and give an account with what they did in their stewardship of the flock. And, as I found out today, spending a lot of time with a dear friend who has stage 4 pancreatic cancer, we don't know how long our days are. So the big issue is the audience of one, not the millions that you might get on this earth.
Thank you for joining us today. The battle for the hearts and minds of millions on our planet will largely be determined by how the facts of science are interpreted. Do the facts of science suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film in Alestra Media's The Design of Life series, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm, showing how its biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the mind-shaping ministries of CRI, Hank would like to send you Living Waters on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit us online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Cold case detective J. Warner Wallace would never allow a divine intruder to enter his life. Yet over time, something changed, and he now sees himself as a guest in the Creator's universe. Detective Wallace is not a theist because his parents believed or because he needed to fulfill a void in his life. Rather, he says, "I believe God exists because the evidence leaves me no reasonable alternative." God's Crime Scene, a cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe, presents the cosmological, biological, mental, and moral cases for God. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. A dolphin's biosonar permits it to distinguish the difference between a golf ball and a ping pong ball based solely on its density. In fact, dolphins can see inside things. What's more, a dolphin can detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think a dolphin's echolocation system simply arose from purposeless processes rooted in blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Alestra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.